to share with you what's been in my spirit. I've been waiting on this a long time because this fella I'm about to introduce to you, I shared with him last night. I met him back in 1981. For those of you that are, not that old, to just give you an idea of the time frame, it's when I had hair. Okay, it's back in that day. But I've met him back then, and he came to what was my home church, and he preached revival, and I want to tell you something. Over these, when you calculate that out, we're pushing up towards 40 years since I first heard him preach. Let me tell you something. His message has remained the same, and he has been consistent in the word that he has preached. And it's, I think, the first time that I've ever had Bob come and actually hold a revival in a church I pastored. So I want to introduce you to you one of the greatest evangelists that I think that there is anywhere, but that the International Pentecostal Holiness Church has to offer. Will you welcome Bob Ely? He's all the way from Oklahoma. He's here by himself. Left his little wife at home this week. But thank you, brother, for being with us.
Well, he's making me sound really old. It'd be like my oldest granddaughter who just graduated from university and started her first semester of teaching in the public school system. Every time she sees me, she just says, "Papa, you're just older than dirt." So I identify with his time frame. It's been a long time since I've been in Princeton, West Virginia. Been here several times in the past in different churches. Pastor, did a revival when Steve Perdue was pastoring here. Did a revival when Bishop Mathena was here. So it's been a while, but it's a pleasure to be back. I wish my wife could be here. She and my daughter are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Our middle granddaughter, Jenny, is enrolled in Point Park University in musical theater. That's a university that's right downtown Pittsburgh. Her dormitory is a 16-story building, but it is a great school for musical theater, and they had a performance this weekend, so my daughter and my wife are there enjoying that, and I get to see the video. Amen. But what a joy to be here and to worship the Lord with you and the pastor and his wife, and to renew fellowship with each one of you, and we're just praying God's richest blessings on these services. We have people all over the country through social media and Facebook and so forth praying for this revival. So we believe God's going to do great things. If you have your Bible this morning, I want to read two portions of Scripture beginning in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the cemetery or the tombs, the graveyard, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame or control him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the cemetery, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you do not torment me.' For Jesus had said unto him, 'Come out of the man, you unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh of the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to your friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you, and hath had compassion on you. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel, and wondered at what God had done. Now quickly in Luke chapter 13, and verse 10, we have a different setting, and I want you to remember this setting. And Jesus was teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and tall. She was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered him and said, You are a hypocrite. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox, his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, hath tied up, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. One translation says, Why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham? And lead her from the stall where Satan hath had her tied and bound, lo, these 18 years. Two distinct portions of Scripture, two similar situations. I want to talk to you about chained or changed. He was startled awake from a deep sleep by a shrill, loud noise. Startled, he sets up in bed. His nerves are on edge, his muscles are tense, and he's strained to hear. Was it that sound? That shrill, shrieking cry that he had heard so often before? Was it that hellish noise of a man that was bound in absolute torment and pain? He's listening intently. Sweat begins to break out on his forehead as he strains to hear that sound. And then, as he listens, he realizes that it's just the wind that's coming on the previous night's storm off the Sea of Galilee. And that wind is now swirling through the streets of Gadara and making the sound that he heard. Relieved, he leans back in bed, trying to go back to sleep, but he can't. Because he remembers the situation so well, and he remembers that man. What was his name? It really wasn't a name. It was simply a description that he called himself. Legion. Lots. Mob. A rioting mob. A legion. Literally, the word is defined as between 4,000 and 6,000 Roman soldiers, infantrymen, plus cavalry. And this man, not his name, but his description, defined himself by saying that he was literally possessed by 4,000 to 6,000 evil spirits. And immediately you say to me, an impossibility. Well, you need to remember that the Jews believed that there were 7.5 a million evil spirits released into the world. And we know for sure that there were at least 2,000 that were possessing and tormenting this man, because there were 2,000 hogs that were destroyed. And this man describes himself as being absolutely full of the power of the devil, possessed. And so he begins to remember how this all started. He remembers the man wandering the streets of Gadara at night, crying deep from within him, that guttural cry for someone to help him, someone to deliver him from this hopeless situation that he finds himself in. And then it grew worse. As the power, the possession of the enemy grew worse, this man began to run the streets at night. He shed his clothes. He found himself filled with debauchery and immodesty. And he's shrieking at the top of his voice, trying to find someone in that city that can bring relief from the pressure and that internal torment that he feels. And then it got worse. The shrieks become louder. And each night as he's running through the streets of the city, he will pick up shards of glass and pieces of stone, and he will begin to lance his own body and cut himself. As if some way by lancing his physical body, there could come a release from this inner torment that he feels. And he remembers that the men of the city did everything that they could do. First they tied him up. In one translation says they hobbled him. They put ropes around his feet like you would an animal so that he could no longer run. But he would break those ropes as if they were nothing. And not only did they tie him up with ropes, but they began to bind him with chains. And yet those chains could not control him. And he would put them asunder. And in the power of evil that was within him, he would break them as if they were nothing. And finally, the men of Gadara did the only thing they knew to do. They drove him out of the city and drove him toward the seashore into the area where there were limestone caves. There, they buried their dead. They drove him to the cemetery, the place of the dead, the place where men's desires and hopes and aspirations and dreams are all dead and buried, the place where they were raising their hogs. It was an unclean place. And since he was spiritually dead, he just as well live among those that were physically dead. They did everything they knew to do. And yet the Bible said they could not control him. He remembers that hellish cry. And now it happened. Very early, the dawn of a new day, and it's important that you remember that. Out of the gray mist of the previous night storms, there comes a little fishing boat. It's not a large boat. It only holds between 12 and 14 fishermen. And that boat has spent the previous night in the storm. For the Bible says that the waves and the winds were contrary. And those on board that boat found themselves about to perish. But there's a man on board that boat. And his name is Jesus. And the Bible said he simply stood on the bow of that ship and said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And he speaks to the wind and he speaks to the wave and he says, "Peace be still." That is enough. And there is a great calm. And now those that have been delivered from the struggle and the storm bring Jesus to the seashore. And when the boat touches the seashore, this man that described himself as a rioting mob of demonic oppression and possession knows who he is. And the Bible said that he began to declare, "You are the Son of God Most High. You are the Most High Son of God. If you can control the wind and the waves, and the elements are obedient unto you, then you can control the storm and the struggle that's in my life." And you know what this man did? He ran to Jesus. Oh, do you understand that there is no power of the devil, no matter how great the force of evil is, that you think is in control of your situation in your life? There is no power or force of the devil that can override your free will. And when you decide you're going to come to God, when you make a decision that you're going to run to Jesus, there is no force of heaven or hell that can keep you out of the presence of Jesus. The devil cannot bind you to the point, tie you up and shackle you to the point that you cannot find yourself in the presence of the Son of God Most High. And he comes and recognizes who Jesus is. And immediately a shout goes back through the streets of Gadara. And now the people are saying, "Wake up! Get out of bed. Come down to the cemetery. See what's happened. Because when they get there, this man is no longer chained, but he is changed by the power of Almighty God. And when the man finds himself in the cemetery, he sees that man called Legion, and the Bible said he is sitting, and he is clothed, and he is in his right mind. He is sitting. There's rest after his restlessness. There's serenity and solace after his struggle. There's peace after all the pain that he had gone through. He is sitting. For the Bible says that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto thee. And peace is that harmonious relationship between God and man, based upon the fact that Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to die for our sins, and he's going to be resurrected in the newness of life. This man is sitting, no longer chained, but changed. But he's not just sitting, he's clothed. He's got decency after indecency, modesty after immodesty, morality after immorality. He is clothed, but most of all, the Bible said he is in his right mind. He's got sanity after insanity. Oh, hallelujah. But when you read that phrase, his right mind, the Greek word is sophremos, which means he is in his saved mind. He's been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And he is sitting and clothed and saved. Delivered. He's no longer chained. He's no longer tied up. He's no longer staked out like an animal. He's no longer tethered and hobbled, but he is totally a new creation in Christ Jesus. He's changed. Amen. And you see, the men of Gadara, they wanted a Savior for their helplessness. They wanted a solution for their hopelessness. But they didn't want a sovereign Lord. Because you know what happened when this man was chained? That word to be in his right mind means he's been removed from a narrow, constricted area into the expanse of a wide open plain where all of his needs are supplied. Because Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And when I come, you'll have life, and that more abundantly. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for it's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to untie and unchain and unshackle those that have been bound. And this man has experienced that. Yeah. He's changed. But the men of Gadara, they didn't want a sovereign Lord. They wanted a Savior. Right. And they wanted a solution. Because they couldn't change this man. All they could do was chain him. Yeah. And Jesus, in changing him, cost them their livelihood. Do you know what that portion of Scripture tells you? One soul is more valuable to Jesus than all the economy of Gadara. That's their entire economy. 2,000 head of swine. That's the entirety of their economic blessings and prosperity. And one soul's salvation is more important to Jesus than all the economy of Gadara and all the economy of America and all the economy of this world. And so now they ask Jesus to leave because they're afraid. And they find out what he's done. And the Bible said as Jesus gets back on board the boat, because he won't stay where he's not wanted, this man that was chained but is now changed steps over into the boat. He's ready to go with him. And the Lord says, what are you doing? He said, I'm going with you. And Jesus says, no, you're not. I want you to go back among your own people into your own cities. And I want you to tell them and to show them what great things God hath done for you. And the Bible said, this man that was chained but now is changed departed and goes into Decapolis, which is that area of 10 cities around Gadara, and begins to proclaim what Jesus has done for him and show them how that he's been changed by the power of God. And you know what the Bible says? The next time Jesus came that way, they knew who he was. And they brought the sick and the afflicted, and they laid them in the streets and besought him that he might pass by. And as many as touched the hem of his garment were delivered and unchained and set free and changed. Amen. Amen. Well, the scene changes. And now we're no longer in the cemetery. We're no longer in the tombs. The place of death and separation and destruction. But Luke says now we're in church. Well, the Bible said Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So you need to understand that the synagogue is the Jewish church. You remember when Israel was dispersed into Babylonian captivity? They would have been swallowed up and destroyed as a nation by idolatry and the corrupt practices of the nations they lived in, with the exception of one factor. They built synagogues. And synagogues became the center of their community. It became the center of their nation. It became the center of their social life. It became the center of their worship of Jehovah God. The synagogue was the Jewish church, and they met on the Sabbath day. You know that. And in the synagogue, you know what they did? They read from the Torah. They read from the law of God, from the Mishnah, the oral interpretation. Every Sabbath, they would read the same portion of Scripture. Know, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And you will love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your strength and with all of your soul and with everything that's within you. They would read that every Sabbath. They would read and have the Scripture. And they would sing. They would sing out of their songbook, which is the Psalms of David. And they'd sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let God arise and enemies be scattered. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, who healeth all of thy diseases and delivers thy soul from the pit." They would sing those songs every Sabbath. And so we're in church. We're in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We're not in the cemetery, the place of hopelessness. We're in the church, the place of hope and life and word and singing and prayer and praise. We're in the synagogue. We're in church. And then the door opens. And she walks in to church. Every herd turns as the door... what's her name? She comes every Sunday. She's here every time that the doors are open. She's that lady. She's the one with the problem. She's got weakness. A spirit of infirmity. And she's had it for 18 years. She comes to church chained. Not in the cemetery, but in the church. You see, they didn't even know her. Oh, they knew of her. And they couldn't miss her because the Bible says that there is so much oppression from the power of Satan that every Sunday that she comes to church, her outward condition begins to mirror the inward situation of her life. And she is so weighted and oppressed by the power of Satan that every Sunday her back begins to bend just a little bit more and a little bit more. And every Sunday that she leaves and she comes back, the next time she's worse, and until finally she is so bent and bowed under the pressure that she can't lift herself up. She's that lady, with the spirit of infirmity. But who is she really? Well, to understand who she really is, you have to read the rest of the story. Because Jesus says she is a daughter of Abraham. Oh, now wait. Do you know what that means? Oh, Brother Bob, that's just a historical description. She's an Israelite. She's a Hebrew. That makes her in the lineage of Abraham. She's just part of the... No, that meant Jesus said she's under the covenant agreement between God and Abraham. She is the daughter of the covenant. Well, don't you remember the covenant with Abraham? I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And I will make you a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse him that curses you. And one day through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. That's who she is. She's the daughter of Abraham. Not only is she under the covenant blessings of God and Abraham, she's under the covenant blessings of God and Moses. And don't you remember those blessings? I'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll lend and not borrow. I will bless you in your fields. I'll bless you in your flocks. I'll bless you in the fruit of your womb. You'll be blessed going out and coming in. She is a daughter of the covenant. But you know what she had? A spirit of weakness. Now, don't misunderstand. She is not possessed like Legion. She is oppressed. She is weighted down by the burden of the presence of the enemy. And she's been under that weight for 18 years. When you study the spirit of infirmity, it literally, in Jesus' description, He said, lo, these 18 years, the devil has tied her up in the stall like an animal. Read it. See, you need to know what this word means. It is a word that means that a king over its subjects, a boss over the employees, a master over his slaves. So it literally says, Jesus said, Satan has become the boss of her. He has lorded it over her. He has mastered her. He has put her under his subjection of power. And the weight of his presence is so great, it has tied her up like an animal. It has hobbled her. You know how you hobble a horse? You just put ropes or chains around his legs, and he can't go very far. He's hobbled. Or she has been tethered. That's the other word. You know how you tether? You put a stake in the ground, and you put a chain or a rope around an animal's neck, and the animal can only go so far, and then violently is jerked backwards. He tries to escape, and tries to get away, and tries to break the bondage, but he comes to the end of his rope, to the end of the chain, and when he reaches there, it jerks him back, because he's tethered. She's tied up. She's oppressed. She's weighted. You know what the word literally means in the Greek? To be flayed alive. She has been skinned and tormented by what she's endured. And the Satan is the Lord over her. She is a daughter of Abraham, but she has a spirit of infirmity. 18 years. Now, I want you to think about that. Because we read that glibly. I want you to think 18 years ago. 2001 to 2019. 18 years, your child was born and graduated from high school. 18 years, she has endured this. And the weight and the burden is so great that it gets worse and worse where she's bent lower and can't straighten herself up. That's what she had. You know what she did? She came to church. She didn't go to the cemetery. She came to the church, the place of help and hope. She came 18 years in a row. Every time the door's open, she's there. If we still gave out attendance pins for perfect attendance in Sunday school, she'd have them up both one side and down the other of her dress. 18 years of perfect attendance. 18 years of being here every time the door's open. Faithfulness. Why do you come? I imagine her siblings, her children are saying, Mom, why do you get up and get ready? You come back worse. I imagine society looks at her and says, why do you go down there to voice of praise? Every time you leave, you're worse. You don't get any better. I imagine the devil said, Satan said, you ought to quit. Nothing ever happens. She came 18 years to church. And you know what she received? Zilch. Nada. Zero. Nothing. Well, wait. She did. You know what she got in church? Sameness. For 18 years, every Sabbath, know, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. She heard the same scriptures for 18 years. Shared the same songs. What's your quiet here? For 18 years.
Yeah.
She heard, the Lord is my shepherd, for 18 years. She heard, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He remembers your infirmities. He heals your diseases. He delivers your soul from the pit. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. He's the lifter up of my head. I'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. My leaf will not wither. Whatsoever I doeth will prosper. And she sings those for 18 years. She hears the same scriptures, the same songs, the same shouts, the same prayers. For 18 years she has sameness. But she's chained, tied, tethered, hobbled. And then it happens. Oh, it's not a boat coming out of the mist to the cemetery. But the back door of the church opens and he walks in. He's a special speaker. His name's not Bob. His name's Jesus.
Amen.
And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this generation.
Yeah.
He is the Word that is made flesh and moves into our neighborhood. He moves into the middle of our mess. He says, I am the Lord the God, and I am the Lord in the midst of you mighty. He is the great I am. He is the Son of the Most High God. He can speak to nature. He can speak to the wind and the wave, and they obey Him. All power, all dominion, all authority is given unto Him both in heaven and in earth. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily. He is the Son of God, Most High. He is sovereign. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. By His stripes we were healed. With His stripes we are healed. And He just walks in the back door. And the Bible said the first thing He did was He saw her. He didn't see through her like everybody else did. He saw her. He knew she was there. He understood the condition that she's in and the circumstances that she's lived in all of these years. And He didn't just see her, but the Bible said He summoned her. He called her. Said, come here. You're a daughter of Abraham. Come here. And not only did He summon her, but immediately He said, lady, you are loosed. You are untied. You're no longer chained, but you are changed and you are free from your infirmity. And He touched her with His own hand. And immediately she stands up straight and tall. And all the oppression and the bondage of the devil is loosed because He's come to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captive. And the moment that weight was lifted in relief, she did exactly what you do. She not only stood up straight and tall, but her hands went up and she began to shout and glorify God. And immediately the president of the synagogue was filled with envy and jealousy. I mean, she'd been there 18 years and nothing had ever happened. And now all of a sudden she's untied and set free. She's no longer tethered and shackled. Amen. She's changed. And he said, well, you know, people, there are 6 days in which you ought to work and not on the Sabbath. So if you want to be healed, come in the... And Jesus looked at him and said, you're a hypocrite. You're a play actor. You're just going through the motions. This is a daughter of Abraham. This is a covenant child of God. All of the promises and the benefits of the covenant belong unto her. And Satan has had her chained and tied up for 18 years and she ought to be released even on the Sabbath day. And all of his critics were silenced. And when all the critics in the church were silenced, the Bible said they all began to shout and praise God.
Yeah.
You know where we are? In church. You're not at the cemetery. You're not living possessed. Place of hopelessness and death and separation. You're in church. You're in the place of help and healing and restoration. But some of you came in here tied. Bound. Sin. Addictions. Pornography. Attitudes. Envy. Strife. Resentment. Bitterness. Situations that are helpless. Sickness that you can't get rid of. Solutions, but you can't find them. All of a sudden you find yourself wrapped up, tied up, shackled, tethered. You're hobbled. Sorrow, shame, guilt, past life. All of a sudden, you're trying to move in your relationship and you can only go so far. The devil has you staked out. And he allows you to go to a certain place, and the moment you think you're going to be free, you're jerked back by the sin, by the sickness, by the sadness, by the shattered relationships, by the sorrow, by the hopelessness. But you know what? Somebody just walked through the back door. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty.
Yes.
Mighty to save. Mighty to heal. Mighty to deliver. You know our problem? We have sameness. You've heard the same sermons. I won't preach anything new to you this week that your pastor hadn't already preached. Same scriptures. You know them all. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord Himself shall raise them up. If they committed sins, they shall be forgiven them. Greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against the enemy and put the enemy to flight. If God be for you, who can be against you? I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means shall harm you. I give you power over all manner of sickness and disease. I give you power to tread upon lions and young lions and adders and dragons. You know the Scripture. You hear it all the time. 3 times a week. You have the same songs. You've heard the same shouts. You prayed the same prayers. 18 years. But you sit here today, tied, bound, chained, shackled, flayed, weighted. And when you go out, you're none the better. But the difference is, Jesus just came in. The Holy Spirit just walked in here. And you know what? He sees you. He knew you were going to be here this morning. You didn't surprise Him by being here. He got here before. When 2 or 3 of you meet together in my name, there am I also. Before you ever got here, He showed up.
Amen.
And He knew you were going to be here. And He sees you. He knows you. He understands your pain. He understands those shattered relationships. He knows your situation. He knows your temptation. He understands what He's touched with the feeling of your infirmity.
Yeah.
And He not only sees you, but He calls you. Summons. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come, come. Those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life free. He sees you and He summons you. And all He wants to do is to reach out and touch you. And the moment He touches you, you are loosed. You're no longer chained, but you're changed. Loosed from your infirmity. The weight and the pressure of the enemy is lifted, and you stand up straight and tall. And you know what happens? Nobody has to prime the pump.
Wow.
Young people don't know prime the pump. But older people, you know, nobody has to get you to try to praise God. The moment you're set free, your hand, nobody has to tell you to raise your hands or to clap or to... Your hands go up and you begin to praise God and shout because you are set free by the Son of God.
Amen.
And don't you stop shouting. The Lord will take care of your critics. Jesus will silence the critics. You just keep shouting, and before you know it, everybody around you is going to start shouting at the wondrous thing God has done because He has set you free. Hallelujah. And that's what I've come to tell you this morning. That you will leave here dominated or delivered. Chained or changed. Bound or free. Hobbled or running. sighing or shouting, crying out in torment or crying out in praise and adoration of God. And what I've come to tell you is you don't have to wait another 18 years. And you don't have to wait another service. Because Jesus just came in here. And the Lord in our midst is strong and mighty to set you free. Because I'm reminded of the leprous man that came to Jesus, I marveled at his words. He said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." Did you know the man is not questioning Jesus' ability? Listen to what he said. "You can make me whole. I believe you have the power, the authority, the dominion. You have the power to make me." You know what he questioned? Jesus' willingness. "Lord, if you will, if you're willing, if you really want to, you have the power to do it." I want to tell you something. Jesus looked at him and said, "I will."
Yep. That's good.
You don't have to question either his ability or his willingness. The fact that he came from heaven all the way to earth, took upon himself the form of a servant and a man, went to the cross, defeated death, ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high, means that he's touched with your weaknesses. He sees you. He wants to summon you. He wants to straighten you. He wants to put the shout back in your life so that you leave here not chained, but changed.
Amen.
Oh, I know the devil says, not going to happen. So I'll close with a story. There's an American chess master. And, you know, chess is not a physically taxing activity, but it's mentally and emotionally exhausting. And this guy's a master. He's won everything that you can possibly win. He's recognized for his ability and his victories, and he's absolutely worn out, and he decides that he needs to take a vacation, and he's going to go to Europe, and he's going to go with a tour group. Well, you've been on tour groups. You know, they rush you from one place to the other place, and you get to see a little bit, and somebody tells you a bunch, and it's not a whole lot of fun, but he's trying to relax. And it would have been like that until they got to France, and they went into a museum, an art museum. And it fascinated him. And the tour guide's leading him along, and the oil paintings, famous paintings, are on the wall, and he mentions who painted it, and they get a little brief synopsis, and they go, and you got to be quiet. And all of a sudden, when they go by one painting, it catches this chess master's attention, because it is a painting of a chess game, a chess match. And in the painting, on one side, the chessboard is out there on the table. The pieces are in place on the board. And on one side of the table is the devil. And his hands are up in the air. And there's glee etched into his countenance. His mouth is open. He's laughing at the top of his voice. His hands are thrown up. He's in a state of joy and glee. And on the other side of the board is a man. And he's bent over. His head is cupped in his hands. Tears are streaming down his face, and pain is etched into his countenance. And the caption of the painting says, "Checkmate. The devil is won." Everybody goes on. Chess master stops. And the more he looks at the painting, he gets agitated and emotional and animated. And he begins to say, wait. And the guide comes back and says, "Sir, you have to be quiet and you have to follow the group." And he said, "No, wait, you don't understand." The guide says, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I'm a chess master and I have studied this painting. And the artist has to come back and repaint it or change the caption." And the guide said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I'm a chess master. I've studied the positions of the pieces on the board. And the man's king has one more move. And I've come to tell you that your king has one more move.
Amen.
What the devil says is helpless and hopeless. Your king just walked in this building to see you oh hallelujah, to summon you, to touch you, to straighten you, to untie you, and to lift every weight so that you go out of here free. Father, I thank you right now for your presence. I thank you for the anointing, the unction of your Holy Spirit that's here, and that you've walked in here for a purpose. Thank you that you come to cemeteries. But thank you, Lord, that you come to church. Hallelujah. And that you just walked in this place to see us, to summon us, to straighten us, to untie us, to break every fetter, every chain, so that we walk out of here this morning changed by your power. I thank you for doing that right now in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Ladies, come and just play some music. We used to sing a chorus. It's an old one. We don't sing it anymore. It simply says, and I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same, and I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And do you know what all means in the Greek? All. You know what all means in the Hebrew? All. And he came in here to heal all. To untie you. To straighten you. And so I'm going to ask you right now, if you're tied and bound in any way, Jesus came in here for you. He came in here to loose you, to straighten you, and to set you free. Doesn't matter what it is. Sin, sickness, shame, sorrow, past life, shattered roulette, doesn't matter. That load that's helpless and hopeless, he came to untie you. And you don't have to leave like you came in Jesus' name. And you'd like to be prayed for, I want you to come right now. As they get ready to sing or play, if you want prayer, you want to go out of here changed, not chained, I want you to come right now and stand right here. Jesus is going to walk in and touch you. Jesus is going to come in and set you free. He's going to lift the weight, make you stand up tall and straight, healed, whole. Obey the Holy Spirit. You don't have to leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Come back. Hallelujah.